It's chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, we'll begin in verse number 5. It says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, and shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." As we've been looking in the Sunday school lessons the past few weeks, and then the other week when the pastor allowed me to preach, you know, the Lord just pushed my heart towards a closeness to God. That's the direction He's been pushing me every time that I've been able to do something for the church, and that's where He's pushing me towards today. And I believe that it would be a help unto us to get closer unto God. You know, we all like to think that we're farther down the road than we are. But then I get to looking at the fact of prayer, which we're going to look at today, and I think, how close am I really unto the Lord? It talks about the peace here in these verses. And the only way you and I would get peace is through the supplication with God and through making our needs known with Him. And our prayer life is a good evaluation of where we stand with God. I like to think that I've achieved certain things as far as spiritually speaking, think I'm farther down the road than I am. But all I've got to do is step back and look at my desire to pray, the way that I pray, and the way that I approach God on a daily basis, and I see where I stand as a child of God. Most of the time, not near as far down the road as I should be. And I've looked at prayer before. Some things may sound familiar, some things may be new, but one thing I do know is that is our lifeline as a child of God. That is our line of communication of prayer, and its definition is us making a request known unto God. Our nation takes prayer lightly. People take prayer lightly in conversation. But you and I have something special when it comes to praying as a child of God. Our life depends on our prayers. If I have a friend, I have a relationship with somebody, I've got to talk to them. If I don't talk to them, it's going to fall apart. I'm not going to know anything about them. They're not going to know about me. There's going to be an area of separation and a distance, and then we're going to be completely separated one from another. The sad part of it is, I believe that's happening inside of the homes and inside of the house of God now. You go to evaluating the things of the prayer that you and I would read in the Word of God. Lord doesn't leave us in the dark when it comes to prayer. And the Word of God is full of it from the beginning to the end. It's about prayer for the child of God and how our life revolves around it. There are different kinds of prayer that are mentioned. That's where we want to start at today. I've got a whole list of places inside the Bible. We're not going to flip there. You can write them down, look them up later if you want. We'll be here too long if we do. I'll give you the place and I'll give you what it references inside of the Word of God. Our Scripture here, it talks about in verse number 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication." Every decision in our life should revolve around prayer with God. If it don't, it's a wrong decision. We've made a wrong step, heading in a wrong direction as a child of God. Our church functions because of prayer. Without prayer from individuals, this church is going to go under. I want to tell you, your prayer life affects our services. That's the sad part about it. I could be the one hindering this whole church from going farther down the road with God just because I've got complacent in my prayer life. And you can too. That's the seriousness of prayer, that you and I have to face that reality. In Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 6, Matthew has a lot to do with prayer. The Lord teaching throughout the Gospels, teaching His disciples how to pray. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6, He's dealing with the publican that has come up and began to pray. And then He mentions the prayer in secret is the one that God's going to honor. You and I have to have a secret prayer life as individuals. I can pray inside the house of God.
If a pastor calls on me, I can pray around the altar when other people's there. I can pray in the prayer room before church. I can pray before my meals. But it's going to be nothing like a secret prayer life with God. I want to tell you, I've never experienced the kind of prayers anywhere else as a closeness unto God as I have when it's just me and God. Sometimes it's when I'm hunting. Sometimes it's when I'm working. Sometimes it's just whenever the Lord moves on your heart. You just got to stop and make your needs known unto Him. Those prayers are fake. I want to tell you, prayer is not a priority as it once was for people. Those prayers are where we make our needs known unto God and get close unto Him. Without my secret prayer life, I'm never going to be able to pray anywhere else. I want to ask you this time, how many times have you got alone this week with God? Just you and God. Nestled up close to Him and made your needs known. I venture to say, not near enough. Not near enough. You say, how do you know? Because of the reaction of the church. I want to tell you, there'd be a lot more worship take place if our prayers was right. Be a lot easier to teach Sunday school classes if people had been praying. It'd be a lot easier for our pastor to stand and preach if people had got along with God. I'll tell you, our services hinge on prayer. And we've got complacent on it. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I'm not throwing it in nobody's face. I fail just as much as anybody else in my prayer life. But as a child of God, I've got to get serious about it if I'm ever going to do anything to bring honor and glory to His name. Next, we see inside the Word of God in Acts chapter number 10 at verse number 2, He mentions the alms not only as on an individual basis, but as a household. As prayer is a family. Young ones need to be taught coming up to pray. They need to be taught from the time that they know, can start comprehending, can start talking, that God is the one that is recognized for everything good in their life. I remember back when I was young, we prayed before meals, prayed before bed, did not understand that until I got older. That was showing me that God has blessed me and been merciful unto me in my life, and He deserved the thanks for it. Prayer inside the family is what's going to keep things together. And that's what's going to cause it to bust up. I want to tell you, we have got to have prayer on an individual basis, or prayer will never be inside the family. Everything starts in my heart. It's got to be right here before it can be right anywhere else. Your family's going in the wrong direction, I've got to evaluate me first to see if I'm where I need to be in my prayer life. He would go on down in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 20. The Lord makes this statement, everybody's probably familiar with it, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be also. He's talking there, he's referring to prayer as a collective group. I'm talking about a church. We've got to pray in like mind and like accord as a church. That is for the growth of the church. I'll tell you, we've got to come together for this church to grow, for it to prosper, for us to be a light to lost in a dying world. That's a desire, should be a desire of our heart. And that ought to be the likeness in our heart that we're praying with, that the Lord would help this church to develop and grow. Then we go on in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 through 17, we see the prayer in a public place. This is how others are going to hear your prayers and view you when you pray. You know what I'm talking about here. When our pastor would call upon somebody to pray, if they was to stand up and they was to elaborate in big words that I could not understand, I would kind of turn them off. I mean, really don't want nothing to do with that. And they've held something over my head that they're better than me. But what Paul is saying here is he's saying in these verses that we need to pray on a level where it can be a help and a blessing to those that are around us. I wonder how I prayed, how others view my prayers if I pray around them. Is it something to where they can see it and it makes them want to pray to get closer to God where they can pray like that? Or do they disregard everything that's going on because of my actions during the prayer? Not only do we see the different kinds of prayer, but we see different parts of prayers. He would tell us in Daniel chapter number 4, verse number 34, about the adoration that should take place in our prayers. These are just a few verses that refer to it. over in the book of Gospels, it would tell us the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew chapter number 6. It's in Luke chapter number 11. All this is inside of the Lord's Prayer as well. But that prayer of adoration is an uplifting of God because of who He is. Not because of what He's done for me. Not because of what He's done for you, but just because of who He is and the greatness that revolves around Him. That's mentioned there. It's mentioned over in Revelations as we see them worshiping around the throne. Nothing about them. A lot of people confuse the prayer of thanksgiving with adoration. I'm thankful for the Lord, the things that the Lord does for me. And I can pray a prayer of thanksgiving, but there are times when I just need to sit back and worship God in the midst of my prayers. I want to tell you, you'll never experience more joy than praying to the Lord and worshiping in the midst of the prayer. That's the most joyous thing a child of God will ever experience. You say, why? Because it shows you where you're at with God. It lets you know that He hears, that He answers prayer. And it lets you know that you are one of His and that He's still there taking note of your life. But not only that, it would tell us about the prayer of supplication. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Chapter number 2, verses number 1 through 3. It talks about the prayer of supplication, that which is me making my needs known unto God. I don't want nobody to get their feelings hurt when I say this, but I'm going to say it. I ought to be able to make supplications on my own. If you're having to call a pastor for every little thing that goes on in your life for him to pray, something's wrong somewhere in your life. I know our pastor desires to pray for you. I know he desires to carry the burdens. But you should be able to pray for yourself. If you can't, do some checking up. Either you're not a child of God, or you're not where you need to be with the Lord. I should be able to have enough inside of me to know that I can call on the Lord, and He'll hear, and He'll answer my prayers. Even if it's just me praying for it. It goes on in James chapter number 5 and verse number 15. There's a prayer of intercession that takes place inside of the Christian walk of life. That is me praying for you. Me uplifting you because I carry the same kind of burdens. Because when your heart hurts, my heart hurts. And it's wanting to see you go further along for the cause of Christ. That's the prayer of intercession that's being made. We do this, that's why we read a prayer list. So we can call out others and lift them up unto the Lord. But the first and foremost of all these things that are mentioned is in John, 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9. It's a prayer confession. Without that, you cannot adore God. You cannot be thankful unto the Lord. You cannot make your supplications known. And you cannot make intercession on others' behalf. We have to have sin set in order in our life before we can pray. That's where the closeness of God is either going to be made or broken. It's because of the sin that's in our life and in our heart. It lets us know that we've got to deal with it. But there are personal requirements that is for the child of God in order for us to even pray unto the Lord. Psalms chapter number 66, verse number 18 and 19. Also talking about sin inside of your heart, but it's referring to a purity of heart before we can call upon God. I've got to get my sin dealt with before I can deal with anything else. A lot of people, that's the problem. A true confession that's talked about in 1 John is me confessing, me turning away from it, and being done with it. But they want to, Lord, will you forgive me? Pray the prayer that they want for the Lord to answer, and then turn right back to it. There has to be a true confession before this church can get closer to God. It's got to start in my heart. There's things in all of our lives and in our hearts that we hold on to that keeps us from getting closer to God. You know what it is. It's different for everybody. Everybody's got their own weakness. But until that's dealt with, it's going to hold this church back. And it's going to hold you back from getting closer unto the Lord. In Matthew chapter number 21, verse number 22, he talks about having the faith and believing in what's being prayed. We don't have faith. We don't believe God can do it. He's not going to answer our prayers. Now, let me go ahead and fill you in on something. A prayer's got to change God's mind anyway. It's to change our hearts to where it molds to where God would have us to be with Him. And if we're hard-hearted and don't have a trust in Him, nothing's ever going to work out in our prayer lives. And that's just the truth of it. In John chapter number 14, verse number 13, he would tell us, when we pray, we got to pray in Christ's name. There are times in my life when I just utter a prayer under your breath. A lot of times it was when I was in a situation I was uncomfortable with, of Lord help or something like that. But when I get down and I pray, it ends in Jesus' name. You say, why is that? Because that shows this world that's going to hear our prayers that there was a Savior that died on the cross that made the division that was between God and man null and void when that curtain was rent in the temple. It's showing them that we have a Savior that loved us and died for us on the cross of Calvary. And then we got to pray according to God's will. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 14. It's got to be in the will of God. There are things that I like. There are things that I want in my life. Things that I desire. But until God has desired for me to have it, it's never going to work out. I'll tell you, that's where a lot of people get their feelings hurt in their prayer life. They give up on God because they pray and they pray and they pray for something and it never happens. But had they ever prayed in a way that was right in the will of God? He said, ask and He'll give it to you, but it's got to be in the Father's will. Yeah. It ain't just asking the Lord to provide anything that I want. But we've got to pray it to bring honor and glory to God's name. I'll give you an example of that. The Lord's not going to let prayers return null and void when it comes to the house of God and worshiping Him. But if it comes down to a vehicle, you just might not ever get that prayer answered. That's what it amounts to for the child of God. The things of God is what's important. That should be what matters inside of our prayer lives. Other requirements for the prayers will come in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 14. Lord instructing the disciples on how to pray. First off, we see that He's teaching the disciples how to pray when He's in the midst of them. You say, why is that? Because the disciples were going to be separated from the Lord. One day when He went onto the cross of Calvary, He knew that they had to have strength in their life from somewhere. And that was going to give them what they needed to get through. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, He lets them know that they got to have a forgiving spirit. I cannot have something in my heart against you or somebody else and expect to pray and get a hold of God. It's not going to happen. If there's something in my heart, it means that sin has not been dealt with to start with. There's got to be a forgiving spirit before we can get business done with God. In Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 5 and 6, we see the simplicity of the prayer. It don't have to be long and drawn out. It don't have to have big words. It don't have to be spoken very well. But all it has to be is my heart getting in touch with the Lord. That's all that it amounts to. I don't have to be fluent speak. I'm not very good at speaking. I don't know a lot of big words. But the Lord hears me just the same as He hears the most educated person in this place. But also in Luke chapter number 18, verse number 10 through 14, it would let us know we got to have a humility about us and a repent of heart if we're ever going to get a hold of God. I can't go unto God demanding things from Him. I've got to go with a heart that's humble before Him, letting Him know that He is my Heavenly Father. I come boldly, as He would say, but I know that I've got to have a reverent respect about myself when I pray unto the Lord. I want to tell you, we've got to have the right kind of spirit about us when we pray. In Matthew chapter number 18, verse number 19 and 20, is unity of the believers when we pray. We want this church to go farther. We've got to get on the same page as a church in order to pray unto the Lord for Him to hear us. In Luke chapter number 18, verse number 7 and 8, we see persistence when it comes to our prayer lives. A lot of Christians nowadays struggle with that. We pray it two times. We think if God hadn't answered, there's not going to be an answer. I want to tell you, it may just be God wanting us to draw closer unto Him in the midst of those prayers. God may answer it. It might not be 2 days later. It might be 2 years later. But God will hear and answer the prayer of the child of God. In Mark chapter number 11, verse number 22, we got to have confident expectations in the Lord and knowing that He has heard my prayer. And He's going to answer. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 17, we've got to pray unceasingly. Pray all the time. Pray without quitting. A lot of times, And I mean, this is on my personal level. I pray a lot more when times are hard in my life. But I want to tell you, it shouldn't matter if I'm in a valley or if I'm on the mountaintop. I should be praying the same every day. I should be calling on the Lord. A lot of times we forget God until the hard times come. And then we want Him to step on the scene and just fix everything in our lives. That's not going to happen. As a child of God, we need to be close to Him all the time through prayer. But there are some other things. We got answers refused in prayers before. In my life, you've had them refused in yours. It's like we can't get through. This is what I was talking about, the supplications, not being able to make them on your own. There are things in our life that hinder us from getting close unto God that have to be dealt with first before anything else is going to work out. Psalms chapter number 66, verse number 18. Sin will keep us from being able to pray unto God. James chapter number 4 and verse number 3. Selfishness in my heart will keep me being able to pray unto God. In James chapter number 1, verse number 5 through 7. Doubt will be able to keep me from being able to pray unto God. In Proverbs chapter number 28, verse number 9. Disobedience unto the Lord's will keep me from being able to pray unto God. In Proverbs chapter number 21, verse number 13, inhumanity towards others will keep me from being able to pray unto God. In Luke chapter number 18, verses number 11 through 14, pride will keep me from being able to pray unto God. I want to tell you, there's a lot goes into prayer for the child of God. There's a lot can keep me from being able to pray unto the Lord. Like I said before, the sweetest moments in my life is when I've got along with God and been able to call upon His name. That's the times when I've been able to come to the house of God and I've been able to sit on the pew. And it may be that there's no testifying, there's no real worship as our eyes can see taking place. But in my heart, it's bubbling over. Service after service after service. But when I've not got along with God, I can sit on that church pew over there. And it can be like, I'm not even in the same building as the rest of the church. I'm distracted. My mind's in a thousand other places. It's not here. It's not on worshiping. It's not on what the pastor's preaching. It's not on the singing that's been done. But it's a thousand other places than the house of God. He said, what's happened? My prayer life's went awry. And it's caused me to go a different direction. I want to tell you, church, it's easy. Right now, it'd be really easy for people to fall out of the house of God. I'm just being honest with you. We sit at the house, we listen to the services online. I know some of the elder people can't make it, and that's fine, I understand that. But those that are able and decide not to, I'm telling you, I just don't see how they're worshiping outside the house of God. We listen to the services, but it was hard for me to worship sitting at the house. I'm just being honest with you. I probably didn't pray as much when we were sitting at the house. You say, why is that? I don't know. It wasn't as much of a priority anymore because I wasn't coming to the house of God. I'll tell you, church, it's easy to get away from God. It's easy to slip up on God and fail Him when it comes to our prayer lives. We've got complacent in it. We've lost the seriousness about it. Like I said before, when I hit the valleys, I call upon God. Now, how many times on the mountaintops did I just sit back and adore Him for who He is? How many times have I got down this past week and prayed for this church that it would grow in the grace and knowledge of God? Prayed for this church that He would send people in it, that they might be a light to them so that they could come to know Him as Savior and Lord. How many times this week have you prayed for the one, I guess it was Nick this week, was teaching life. How many times did you pray for him this week that the Lord would just bless him to where He'd bless you? How many times during a weekly basis have you prayed for our pastor? Is it day after day? Is it multiple times a day that the Lord will just get all over him and bless him so that he can be a blessing to us while he's preaching? I'll tell you, we failed God. When I look at my prayer life, I see where I stand with God. Not near as close as I should be. I failed Him time and time again. But I want to tell you, He's a God standing there with open arms. We can come back. He'll restore that prayer life back to where it needs to be if we would just so desire to bring honor and glory unto His name. I'm going to have Mama come. She can play a verse of invitation. I don't know this To me, it's something that you'll have to take with you and ponder on. But we'll give you a verse of invitation for an opportunity, and then we're going to the house. I want to ask you, have you got a desire to get closer to God? It's going to start being on your knees before Him.